Well, I read a story recently written by a pastor of a church that has a special needs ministry, and they decided to highlight this ministry in one of their morning services. And so as part of the morning service, they had one of the little boys in the class who has mental disabilities get up and sing a solo. Well, it wasn't beautiful, but everybody was so touched by it that when he was done, the whole congregation stood up and applauded. And the little boy just kind of stared back at his audience, and as his teacher was leading him to his seat, he asked her, "Why is everybody standing up?" And I thought about our chapter in Hebrews 11 when I read that story. I'm assuming these people know that they're in this chapter on faith. And I wonder if they would be like this little boy who said, "Why are people standing? Why are people commending our faith? Why are we even in this chapter?" Well, they're in this chapter because they were fully convinced about who God is and what he has said, and they lived their lives based on that conviction. But that's really what every true believer can say. The people in this chapter simply believed who God is, and they took him at his word. So I think they'd ask, so why are people standing? Why are people commending our faith? You know, we know the stories of these individuals, things about them that aren't included in this chapter. And we know that they're not perfect, but God poured out his grace on each of them, and we're especially going to see that tonight. And he worked through them, and he gave them the faith to judge him faithful, who promised, like Abraham and Sarah, or to endure as seeing him who is invisible, like Moses. So they're here in this chapter as examples to us of people who simply lived lives of faith based on who God is and what he had promised them. So they aren't really the true heroes of this chapter. The Lord himself worked through imperfect people to show that he is God, and faith pleases him. That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So when men and women believe that he's God, their faith brings him pleasure and honor. And that's really the undertone of this whole chapter. The Lord receives the glory when he works through the faith of people who can never accomplish anything as amazing as what he accomplished through them. And we come to three verses tonight that especially teach that concept. Verse 29 of chapter 11 says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." So it's really grace that the children of Israel are included in a chapter on faith. It's grace that a harlot is the only other woman mentioned in this chapter by name besides Sarah. So throughout the years, God has poured out his grace on individuals and granted them the faith that pleases him, and then worked through them to bring glory to himself. He worked through them, and he works through us so that people talk about what he did. Faith is simply believing him, taking him at his word, and watching what he will do. And that's really another characteristic of faith that we learn from this chapter. Faith rests. Faith rests in the knowledge and the belief that God is capable of stepping in and working where we can't. The children of Israel were up against the Red Sea. They were helpless. But by faith, they passed through the Red Sea. They simply walked through after God had worked. The children of Israel faced the walled city of Jericho. And by faith, they simply walked around the walls, and God worked. It says here that by faith, Rahab received the spies with peace. Her faith rested in the God she had heard about. He worked, and then she and her family were saved. So faith rests, and then it watches God work. Last time we looked at the faith of Moses and his parents. They endured as seeing him who was invisible. They had a different vision. They saw with eyes of faith, and so they were fearless. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, they were given a promise. God said that he would give them a land as their possession, but they never received it in their lifetime. But they believed it so strongly that they passed down that promise. They died in peace, believing their faith hoped. And last time we looked at Acts 7, and we were told that when the time of the promise drew near, which God had promised to Abraham, then he raised up Moses to lead his people out of Egypt and to take them to the land that God had promised. And the last thing he says about Moses here in Hebrews is that by faith he kept the Passover. He believed that God was about to fulfill his promise, and he did. And the missing gap between the verse we left off with last time and the verse we come to today is the story of the final plague, the death of the firstborn in Egypt. And Pharaoh finally lets God's people go. And we pick up the story in Exodus chapter 14. You might want to keep your finger or piece of paper in Hebrews 11. We're going to go back and forth quite a bit. But Exodus chapter 14, in verses 1 and 2, God tells Moses exactly where to take the people first. And they were to set up camp at the Red Sea. And this is why. In verse 3, he says, "For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land." Verse 3, "The wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored over Pharaoh and over all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And in the next verses, Pharaoh hears that the children of Israel were encamped by the sea, and his heart was hardened. And so he and his chariots pursued after them, just as God had said they would. And so the children of Israel had been through this great deliverance from Egypt, but they suddenly find themselves hemmed in on every side, a place that God had led them. Egypt was behind them, the Red Sea was in front of them, and Pharaoh and his armies were in pursuit. They had nowhere to turn. And here's the Israelites' response in verse 10. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were in great fear. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness?" And then skip down to the end of verse 12. It says, "For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." So they're hemmed in on every side. They're completely afraid. Their faith is small. But listen to what Moses says in the next verse. Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, whom you have seen today, you will see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." So there was nothing they could do, so God was going to fight for them. They were just to stand still, to rest, and see the salvation of the Lord. Watch what God was going to do. I like what Tim said when he mentioned this passage at our conference. He said they had only to be silent. Their faith was small. They wanted to go back to Egypt and die there. But the only thing their faith was being asked to do was be silent, to stand still, to rest and see the salvation of the Lord, to watch him work. And by faith, they did that. And as we know, God parted the Red Sea. He made a pathway that was dry so that they could cross through. All they had to do was step in and walk across by faith. God had done everything else. He was fighting for them. If you turn back to Hebrews 11 and verse 29, it says, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land." You know, the children of Israel weren't always known for their great faith. In fact, I think these two stories are two of very few times where they showed very much faith. But imagine the faith it took to step onto that dry ground and walk between walls of water on either side of them that could collapse at any moment. They had to trust what God had told Moses, God had told them through Moses, and they had to believe who God was showing himself to be for them. They trusted, and they all walked across to the other side. Oswald Chambers always has a lot to say about faith, and he said this once, "Dare I really let God be to me all that he says he will be?" The Israelites were often a lot like us, fearful, afraid that God wasn't going to come through for them, murmuring. They were often focused on their own weakness in comparison to the many challenges they were faced with that were much larger than they were. But here at the Red Sea, they're finally letting God be to them all that he said he would be. The Lord said, "I will be honored over Pharaoh and over all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And Moses had said, "The Lord will fight for you," and he did. Now, the writer of Hebrews is already done talking about Moses, but Moses was here too. He was leading them in this faith that rests. but it's the children of Israel who were commended for their faith because they dared to let God be to them all that he said he would be. It says they, by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. So God was the real hero in this story, but the children of Israel showed faith that pleased him. They had only to be silent, and God worked. And when he worked, he gave them the faith to walk through, to believe that he would continue to be for them what he had been showing them throughout their deliverance from Egypt. And that's really the story of our lives, isn't it? You know, we're constantly learning to be silent and let God work, to rest in who he is and what he has said, learning to go forward by faith because we realize that God will be to us all that he's always claimed to be. Faith rests. That was the only thing that the Israelites could do when they were up against the Red Sea. Faith rests in who God is, in what he is capable of doing, and in what he has said he will do. Faith has only to be silent. And the children of Israel showed that same kind of faith again, only it was a different generation of Israelites. Again, we have a gap between what we're told in verse 29 and what we're told in verse 30. Verse 30 says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. So we've skipped ahead 40 years. The generation of Israelites who crossed the Red Sea have died in the wilderness. They weren't allowed to go into the Promised Land, a result of unbelief when they came to the border of the land for the first time. 12 spies had been sent in to search out the land, and 10 of them discouraged the people with their report. They said, the walls are too high and the people are too strong for us. And they said the same thing that they said at the Red Sea. It would have been better for us to die in Egypt. So because they didn't rest in who God is and what he had said and what he was capable of doing, that generation wasn't allowed into the Promised Land. But now we have this new generation, and it's time for them to enter the Promised Land. And again, men are sent to spy out the land. This time there were only two of them, and this time they were to report only to Joshua. But they meet the next person in our Hall of Faith. Verse 31 says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. So the writer of Hebrews had just been talking about Moses, the one who had given them the law, but was more importantly a man of faith. The very next person he mentions by name is Rahab the harlot. The account in Joshua that we're going to look at in just a minute is the only time Rahab is ever mentioned in the Old Testament. But Rahab is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament, and twice, including this time here, she's listed as Rahab the harlot. She's identified with who she was when she demonstrated her faith in the one true God. Her line of work, her dishonesty when she hid the spies, these were never commended, but God used Rahab the harlot. She was cunning. She owned a home in a very strategic location, but he used her because she was more importantly a woman of faith. So we'll turn to Joshua chapter 2 and look at her story. Joshua 2. Joshua 2, verse 1. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim 2 men to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into an harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came men in here tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, bring forth the men who are come to thee, who are entered into thine house, for they have come to search out the country. And the woman took the 2 men and hid them. And if we were to keep reading, Rahab tells the messengers from the king that the men had already left the city and that they should hurry and catch up with them. Again, God proves through her story what we've been seeing all along, that God pours out his grace on individuals and grants them the faith that pleases him, and then he works through them to bring glory to himself. Joshua had sent these 2 spies into Jericho, and here they are at the house of Rahab the harlot, hidden by her on the roof while she sends their captors away. In Hebrews, we're told she did that by faith. It says by faith she received the spies with peace. In James, we're told that she was justified by works when she had received the spies and sent them out another way. So in spite of who she was and the lie that she told, the way she treated these spies was an indication of her faith, and God used her. We don't have any indication that the spies had any wrong intention in going to her house and lodging there. We don't know for sure. Most people agree that they didn't. But we do know that her house was a very strategic place for these men to lodge. Her house sat on the walls so they could see how they were fortified. A lot of traveling merchants stopped there. So it was at her house where they would find out what they needed to know about the land. Archaeologists tell us that the walls of Jericho were 20 feet high and were actually two walls with a room-wide gap between them. So if their enemies were able to scale the first wall, they'd be stuck in kind of a no-man's land in between the walls. And over those gaps in the walls sat houses that were supported by strong timbers. And Rahab was prosperous enough to have a house in a prime spot on the wall. She was well-known. The king of Jericho came to her looking for the spies. And as we mentioned, a lot of traveling merchants would stop there. So Rahab would be a very important figure in the city of Jericho because of the information that she would gather. But we're told in Hebrews that she received these spies with peace, by faith, because one of the things that she had heard about was their God. And this is what Rahab said to the spies in verse 9. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. So she had heard about the children of Israel who had been wandering around for 40 years, this great multitude of people who worshipped a God not carved out of stone. She had heard about who God is, what he was capable of doing. She had heard about the Red Sea crossing that had happened 40 years earlier. And she was so convinced about who God is that she hid the enemy. She betrayed her people, and she really risked her own life. She received the spies with peace, Hebrews tells us, because by faith she was resting in who she believed their God was and in what he was capable of doing. She knew that they were preparing themselves to attack Jericho, and even though her city was the strongest of all the cities the Israelites would conquer in the Promised Land, she had met two people who knew this God that she had heard about and who worshipped him. And she wanted to be on their side. She believed that God was capable of destroying their city because he was the God in heaven above and on earth beneath, as she said. And she believed that being on his side would mean safety, even though she lived in one of the strongest cities in the Promised Land. So she received the spies with peace, Hebrews said. She rested in their God. And so she said to the spies in verse 12, Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. Now, most likely, her profession had made her an outcast from her family. She already lived apart from her family, kind of like a moral leper. But she asked that she be saved and her family. And this is what the spies told her in verse 14. And the men answered her, Our life for yours, if you utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. And in verse 15, Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was on the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers have returned, and afterward may you go your way. In James, it says that she was her faith was showing itself by this act. It said that she was justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. So her faith rested in the assurance that she and her family would be saved, And she believed it so strongly, she risked her own life. She hid the enemy and sided with them, and she helped the spies escape. And she left the scarlet cord hanging from her window as a sign to the spies and really to the city and to the God in heaven above and on earth beneath that she believed in him. Her faith rested in who she had heard God is and what she believed he was capable of doing. And so the spies returned, and this is what they told Joshua in verse 24. And they said unto Joshua, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." Now this was a completely different report than the spies gave 40 years earlier. The walls, the cities were still walled. The people were still stronger than they were. But the faith of a woman, a harlot, from the city they were about to attack had strengthened their faith. She reminded them that they have a God who is in heaven above and on earth beneath. And they believed, along with Rahab, that the Lord had delivered this city into their hands. But not just the city. Notice they said, "Truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land, for even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us." You know, the people of the land were afraid because they had heard about their God and all he was capable of doing. These spies reported to Joshua that God was about to give them all the promised land because he was capable of doing it. For Rahab and the spies, that meant they rested in belief. But many did not, which is another thing that Hebrews tells us. So if you turn back to Hebrews 11, it says in verse 31, "By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace." You know, there were many in Jericho who had heard about Israel's God and what he was capable of doing. But they didn't rest in faith. Rahab did, and she and her family were saved. Verse 29 had said, "By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians attempting to do were drowned." You know, these Egyptians had seen what Israel's God was capable of doing, but they didn't cross the Red Sea by faith, but because of what they thought they were going to accomplish. And it says they were drowned. You know, earlier in Hebrews in chapter 4, he's talking about salvation rest, which is really what all of this is picturing. And it says in verse 2 of chapter 4, "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we who have believed do enter into rest." So faith is very important to the Lord. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Hebrews 11 tells us, "The just shall live by faith." He's already told us, but all faith is called upon to do is rest in who God is, because then he gets the glory. And that's certainly what happened at Jericho. It says in verse 30, "By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days." Like the children of Israel up against the Red Sea, this new generation of Israelites came against a city that was too strong for them. But they had learned from the unbelief of their fathers that they were to trust God. And like their fathers at the Red Sea, they had nothing to do but trust. The city was too strong for them. And God told them how they were to conquer the city back in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua 6, verse 1, says, "Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and its king, and the mighty men of valor. And you shall compass the city, all you men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days, and 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day you shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him." So in essence, they were to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. All they had to do was walk around the city and watch God work. But they walked around the city, Hebrews tells us, by faith. faith that rested in who God is and what he's capable of doing and what he had said he would do. And notice what Joshua says in verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then you shall shout." So again, they had nothing to do but be silent, to shout and conquer the city only after God had worked. And so they marched around the city without a sound every day for 6 days. They didn't consider the mocking or the eyes that watched them marching around and not doing anything else. Every day they walked around the city by faith. Every day they marched around the city, their faith was being tested and it was being demonstrated. The walls were too high. They couldn't conquer them on their own. They couldn't do it. And so they did what God said, because he said he would do it. And on the seventh day, they marched around seven times. Verse 16. "And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, Shout, for the Lord hath given you the city." Verse 20. "So the people shouted when the priests blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass, when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. By faith, Hebrews said, they compassed the wall 7 days. They dared to let God be to them all that he said he would be. And they took the city only after God had fought for them. But Hebrews also says, by faith, Rahab didn't perish with those who did not believe. In verse 22, it says, "But Joshua said to the two men that had spied out the country, Go into the harlot's house and bring out from there the woman and all that she hath, as you swore unto her. And the young men who were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them outside the camp of Israel." So Rahab had believed that God was God in heaven above and on earth beneath. And she watched him perform what she believed he was capable of performing. And she and her family were saved as she'd been promised. You know, faith rests. This was the kind of faith the children of Israel demonstrated. They had nothing to do but be silent. And this is what the faith that Rahab showed, faith that rests in who God is and what he is capable of doing. But notice verse 25 says, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwells in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." Bible says that Rahab married a man named Salmon. Tradition says he was one of the two spies. We don't know that for sure, but we do know that she was saved by grace through faith. A Canaanite woman from the Promised Land, who had once been a harlot. She believed God and her faith rested in him. And she ended up being the mother of Boaz, the husband of Ruth. There are probably several generations between them, so probably more like a great-grandmother of Boaz. But Boaz was one of her descendants, so one of her descendants was King David. And more importantly, she's listed in Matthew 1 in the genealogy of the Savior of the world. So right here at the first conquest, God saves one Canaanite woman and her family to demonstrate that he's a God who saves by grace through faith, and faith rests in who God is and in what he's capable of doing and what he said he would do. I think we can each identify with the Israelites here. You know, we come up to Red Seas and walls of Jericho in our lives, situations that are too much for us. But true faith rests, especially at times when we have nothing to do but be silent. To dare to let God be to us all that he has said he would be. And this is the kind of faith God's people have shown throughout the centuries. Near the end of his life, David, a descendant of Rahab, described how the Lord had worked in his life in the same way that he had worked in the lives of the Israelites. And he described it this way. He said, "He sent from above, he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, for they were too strong for me. By my God, I can leap over a wall." And then he said, "The word of the Lord is tried or proven by all these things we can read about of times when he worked on behalf of his people, like he said he would. He is a shield to all who trust in him." Faith rests, and it doesn't take any strength to rest. I heard someone define rest as to cease striving. And that's really what the Israelites had to do. That's what Rahab did. Their faith rested, and they watched God work. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this story. I thank you so much for who you are and what you are capable of doing, and that you've given us your word so that we can know what you are capable of doing and we can trust what you have said. Thank you that you are a God that we can trust and lean on, and I just pray that you will strengthen our faith every day. In Jesus' name, amen.